One, two, three. My baby don't mess around because she loves me so.
The Thursday show. I'm here. I'm Jack. Get used to it.
Ich bin hot stuff.
Ich bin ein hot stuff. Sorry. I'm messed up headphone thing. Back on the home court with this crazy audio stuff that
and the wagon
we set up and used for like 2 weeks, and then I immediately. Left town for 2 months, but
you're a little quiet.
I'm a little quiet.
Yeah, I don't know if
should
you want
to pot myself.
You
up.
Can either pot yourself up or you can move your mic a little bit or whatever.
I forgot to get all potted up before this radio show.
That's better.
Am I better now?
Yeah, but now you're worse. I think it was a
hot stuff. Hot stuff.
There you go.
Cans.
There you go.
Yeah, these things don't really stay on my head particularly well.
I think it also the boom just sort of falls a little. It's like
I am the boom king.
Yeah.
You see me talking into that boom. riff levels silent as usual. That's because riff levels are really low because it's just a very light snoring sound.
Yeah.
I got here in too little time.
To wake him from his slumber? To rouse him?
What have you been up to?
Packing up all my shit and moving.
Yeah.
It's been great.
Let's see. We got we're told that our levels are okay on the radio. Sorry about the stitch with the 128K stream. I had not set this computer up to broadcast on it because I don't think they had it when I left.
Oh. Huh.
But
yeah, now it should be
connected to it now. Yeah. So
every time.
But everybody gave up on it because
there's nothing.
Because
going on.
Yeah, there was just dead air.
I say, but now people get to jump on. There are spots available.
Hey, what does it sound like when the Lone Ranger's on the... not the Lone Ranger. When the Pink Panther is on the radio. Dead air, dead air, dead air. Dead air, dead air, dead air. Yeah. You know what it sounds like when the Lone Ranger's on the radio? I don't either. Lone Ranger used to be on the radio, right? Yeah, this thing keeps...
just tilting down.
Boom keeps on slipping into my neck waddles.
Neck waddles?
I don't really have neck waddles, but...
Is that like fat neck?
Yeah. If I did, that's what the boom would keep slipping, slipping into.
See, I
remember when we were good at being on the radio?
No.
Yeah.
I don't either. See, I was saying your line, too.
Yeah. Wow. Anyway, what have you been up to since the last radio show? Hot stuff. Besides moving.
We've done some work.
It's true.
Recently.
Item of the month came out, what, Tuesday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the slime tube came
out? Damn, that was a lot of work.
But both of them came out since the last radio show.
Well, since the last Thursday show.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. No, wow. Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, we worked real hard for a long time. It was really exhausting.
Yeah. And now it's not really done, but we've just stopped working.
They're not precisely done. We're just like, you know, we need to go get drunk for a few days.
You know what we... God damn it. We have a beer in the fridge that we are now tethered to this desk.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's fine. We don't have the right kind of glasses.
Okay.
We'll get it at the break. All
right. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Hot Stuff's going to try Earthel Hoppet for the first time.
Yeah.
Beer that I discovered on my pilgrimage to New York.
If you had walked to New York and back, that would have been a much more impressive feat.
It was a pilgrimage insofar as I went there and all I ate was turkey and mashed potatoes and gravy and caramel corn.
There's
and,
the
although they call it caramel maize.
Yeah, there's like this annual walk in Spain, I think. That's like a pilgrimage. I don't know much about it, so this is a terrible story. But some friends of mine went on it, and they said it was really neat because people. It's so well known that people like who have like homes and like farms and stuff like that along the route or whatever will like put people up because you'll like sort of just walk as far as you can on a given day and then you camp or whatever. But
like that Richard Bachman story, The Long Walk, only they don't shoot you if you slow down.
I guess not. I don't know that one.
It's a good story.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting when a friend of mine was trying to get a world record for longest crawl, that it was the world's... It was the longest continuous voluntary crawl. Because apparently involuntary crawls are not something that they want to keep records of.
Yeah, I guess they wouldn't want to encourage, you know, unethical governments to force people to break Guinness World Records at gunpoint to earn more notoriety for their country.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good idea, though. I should start running a company like that. Like, most hours worked per week.
Right.
Involuntarily. Nobody works voluntarily.
I mean, there's these things called volunteers.
What? I don't believe
you
it.
You might have heard of them.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Anything in particular? Hey, there's a riff. Let's see if we can toss some cookies over there. This is gonna be difficult.
I don't know which microphone is his.
This is number 3.
Okay.
I don't think I can reach you.
Yeah, the being tethered to a desk is awkward.
Oh. All right. So then Hot Stuff, you gotta man the cans. You gotta tell me which way to pot riff.
toke left.
Toke left.
Toke left. I should have said toke left, but I didn't.
What was the, we're making that one toke over the line.
Yeah, what about
joke? Yeah. About the hat.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Only if you speak English and French, though. Ow.
Vorthok says, I propose that using the chat commands to drink a Rockin' Wagon should not even attempt to drink the Rockin' Wagon with a fly in it. Yeah, that's probably true, but...
I mean, do we want to build in
it's gotta do
some
something.
Exception cases?
That's the thing. It's got to do something in these ambiguous cases. Boy, who feels bad for Moth?
I feel a little bad for Moth. I mean, it's player error.
It is.
But, yeah,
trying
that sucks.
So what was the actual story? He was trying to use all of his large boxes at once.
Was it? Oh, his large boxes. I see.
It was /use *box, and what that did was it used his entire collection of boxes of sunshine.
Oh, yeah.
So, you get 400,000 turns of Smile of Mr. A. Poor guy.
Test.
You are extremely quiet.
Riff is extremely quiet. He is also potted almost all the way up, so...
That's much better, Riff.
Okay.
Hello.
How's it going, Riff? What have you been doing since the last Thursday?
Sleeping.
Just sleeping?
Oh, since Thursday.
You should move the mic a little closer to your mouth as well.
Okay. Me?
No.
Me?
Riffles me. Yeah.
Okay.
Over here?
Yeah, that's much better. Okay. Now you're...
Good job,
sweet.
Man in the cans.
I don't know. What have I been doing? Been playing various stupid games on the iPhone.
You should pick up Infamous for the PS3.
Oh, yeah? Is it good?
Pretty good, yeah.
Cool.
I'm enjoying it. I mean, I've played it for a few hours, and I keep wanting to go back and play it some more.
Cool.
It's got some completionist bait.
Ooh, completionist bait.
Do you get some sort of mastery of that?
Yeah. It's kind of open world with story missions, GTA style, but it's got that kind of San Andreas deal where you can take over territory, but what it seems like it is that you take over territory and then you're just done, right? Like, it removes all the criminals from that territory, and I don't think that they re-encroach. I've never seen it. In San Andreas, won't the other gangs eventually take...
If you leave
town for a long time, like, they will... I don't know. I never played San Andreas that far. Or I just barely got to the point where you were taking over gang territory, and then there were those series of missions out in the country that every time I failed, I was just like, fuck you, game. Also, part of that's my fault, though, because I always tried to play the game. I basically never save.
Wow, that's
when
a terrible
a
idea.
Yeah, well, saving is a hassle.
But dying and then having to go back an hour... is much more of a hassle.
Well, it depends on how often you're going to die and how often you're going to go back. Right? Like, that's the thing. I feel like in Vice City, a mission failure meant 5 minutes of extra work. In San Andreas, it was seriously problematic, right? And so I think, okay, so let's say I fail 1 out of every 10 missions.
Yeah.
No, I probably fail 1 out of every 2 missions. Let's say I fail 1 out of every 2 missions on the first try, and it cost me 10 minutes to retry it, right? And there's a slight chance that I'll have to retry it several more times at 10 minutes a pop. Compare that to the amount of extra time that it takes to drive to a safe house and save every time you make any kind of progress.
Right.
Right. So, the one thing is it's kind of a self-perpetuating failure cycle because I basically played Vice City such that I never had any guns. Apart from, like, what I would fight, because, like, you lose all your guns when you get killed, right? So, but it was fine, you know, and I didn't beat it because I couldn't hack the missions. Oh, I should get a hex editor and hack the missions. Have either of you guys started playing Metroplexity yet?
No.
Nope.
Why are you both big dumb jerks?
I have too much stuff to do to play other games.
Oh, sure. Listen, I was able to play a lot of Metroplexity and still do all the work that I had to do.
I can't believe you are encouraging me to play an open-ended game.
It's not open-ended, though. It's you got a limited number of turns, and the mall isn't very active. So
yeah.
Look, you're not gonna figure out some way to spend all of your time doing it. Those days are over, Hot Stuff.
Yeah, sure.
You're stronger-willed than that now.
No.
You're a grown-up
My
now.
Will has not changed at all.
Yes,
I have just
has.
No.
Yes, it has.
No.
So you're saying that same will that kept you in bed all day except when you were playing World of Warcraft is what you're using to get all this exercise and do all this climbing and turn into some sort of muscle-bound galoot? That I can't relate to at all anymore?
Yes. It's the same will. It's just substitute World of Warcraft, substitute rock climbing for World of Warcraft.
I see. Yeah. I see. So I walk around with Hot Stuff, and all of the time, it's like walking around with somebody who just got really into skateboarding, and they're like, dude, it would be sweet to ollie over that thing. Like, it's just everything that you walk past, only Hot Stuff is just all, I wonder how many chin-ups I could do on that thing.
It's just not like that at all.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. Yeah. It's kind of like that. It's pretty embarrassing.
I think the problem that you have is that everybody else has started climbing while you were away.
Yeah.
So now everybody's talking about climbing and...
No, you're the only one talking about it still.
Okay.
Every time I talk to you, you're like, dude, I totally did a 6.17. I don't even know what that means. Didn't I write some item description that referenced that, and the numbers were so out of line that, like, even somebody that knew what I was talking about wasn't going to know what I was talking about?
I don't know.
That seems like the kind of thing that I would do.
Maybe.
Oh, also, now I can say, I think that my description that I wrote for the slime-soaked hypothesis is my favorite thing that I've ever written in the game. Because it had the pituitary joke and the hypothesis. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I was so proud of that. And I knew, because it was like a couple months ago that I wrote it, and I was like, ah, damn it. I'm really happy with this description. And it's going to be a long time before anybody sees
it. I don't know
it.
That, like, I still don't know what a hypothesis is.
It's just a pituitary gland. Like, it is the name for the pituitary gland. Pituitary.
See, we are totally an educational game.
We are, man. We're like a way less convenient thesaurus.
Yeah. That is true.
So what have you been playing? I tried to play that Xenonia game. Have you stuck with that?
I've been playing that some, and also Isotope.
What's Isotope?
It's like Geometry Wars.
Huh. But on the phone?
Yeah.
Huh.
It's pretty good. It's got a lot of unlockables and stuff.
Huh. I know I need to just power through it and get used to the controls of Xenonia, but that's been my problem with it so far.
Yeah.
Is like,
yeah, the mushiness of the fake cross pad and
yeah.
trying to get up next to a box or a person to talk to.
Yeah,
and
that is
up on behind them, and
there is like a thing that keeps happening to me that is really, really frustrating, and I understand why it's happening, right? They correct for the controls a little bit. Like, if you're walking and you butt up, and you, like you're trying to walk through a gate and you
hit the wall next
you
to
hit
the
wall next to the gate, it will send you towards the opening of the gate.
Okay.
Right? But what that does is it creates a lot of situations where you will hit, like, say, right on the D-pad, but your character will move left because you have accidentally hit up instead of right, so it makes the controls seem like and it's weird, but it happens to me all the time.
Why are they not separated on the screen, like right and left, and like, do you know what I mean? Like on a lot of the D-pad games on the iPhone, they have like right left on one side and up down on another side.
Really? I don't think I've
most
seen that.
Most of the ones that I've seen,
the button on the other side is attack.
Yeah.
Oh,
you're not
there
just
are
moving,
buttons.
Yeah, there's a tech. And there's also, like, a hotbar for skills, which, tiny, tiny, like, 20 by 20 pixel icons.
That's terrible.
Yeah, it's weird. But the game seems really cool. It just makes me wish that I could play it on any other piece of hardware, right?
Yeah,
well, I guess that's not, I mean, I wouldn't want to play it on, like a toaster oven, right? The iPhone is better than playing it on something that doesn't
power
saw. Yeah.
Yeah, really the penalties for losing on the power saw are
yeah.
really kind of...
Jeez, I hit the wrong button. At least that'll never happen again.
Yeah. And at least it, like, when you're attacking shit, you auto-face whatever's near to you.
You should try to get your mic closer to your face again.
Speaking of auto-face, this thing just
better.
Keeps falling down. Or are you talking about...
I was talking to Riff, because he disappears into the background. You're at least still audible, even when it...
Audible.com?
Yeah. We should totally get sponsorship.
From audible.com.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They wouldn't sponsor us.
Oh, why
although,
not?
You know, they would. I don't think
I don't know. There's places that won't sponsor you if you're explicit.
Right.
And we're pretty explicit.
All the time.
Yeah.
Fuck!
I think every... Yeah, see, there you go. Every,
that and
every single,
all the podcasts in the nude.
On the, right? on the podcast list, just every single one of them is explicit.
It has
I wonder
be.
If they even check.
I think it's just a category that you set.
No, I've seen podcasts where some episodes were explicit and some weren't.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't know. For us, it's safer to assume explicit than to do anything.
Zona says, you should make a game to play with the marbles in the VIP room. That would be so cool. And I play Keepsies. I wonder if Kefka plays Keepsies when he plays marbles. And then when he wins all the marbles, he's like, ke-ke-ke-ke-ke-ke.
Is he from Poughkeepsie?
I wonder if you could, Kefka from Poughkeepsie. That's hard to say, man.
I was pretty impressed with your ability to theme 11 marbles, interestingly.
It was tricky.
You did a good job.
There are a lot of kinds of marbles, but not nearly as many as I thought. So I had to use almost all of them. I was having to come up with like an Aggie joke, and I thought that Aggie meant a lot more things than it did, or else I thought that there were like famous people named Aggie.
I mean, it's like the people from Oklahoma, right?
Texas A&M, but then I was like, they are like Ammies.
No, I think
there's Aggies, and then there's somebody else. There's another thing like that. That there's like some rivalry. Then I'm like, you know, I only know that because I used to work with a dude from Texas, and not everybody used to work with a dude from Texas. Specifically, not everybody used to work with Charles Wallace. But
are you sure? I think I've worked with Charles.
A lot
Wallace.
Of people work with Charles Wallace from A Wind in the Door and A Wrinkle in Time.
Yeah,
that was weird.
And A Wendigo. And Charles Wallace.
A Wendigo.
Yeah, from the frigid Northlands.
Man, last time I read that was two or three Wendigos. Three Wends ago. Roy's joke about the Quiznos Haderach was pretty funny.
It got retweeted.
I know. Retweeted.
Yeah.
And retweeting.
Yeah.
See, the knowing about the existence of retweeting means that anything I say that doesn't get retweeted is a failure.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know, man. So now it's like,
I don't understand what the hashes are. Like that, I don't get. Like there's a whole Follow Friday thing, which is like a hash.
The hashes are like tags, right? So
what
you can search. You can search for stuff. So like there used to be a lot of people talking about KOL with the pound KOL tag, but then that Kings of Leon band got more popular, and so those people overtook the KOL tag.
Oh,
yeah. Stupid Kings of Leon.
What about just loathing?
I don't know. People would just think we were talking about hatred, or that the other people were talking about hatred. I mean, we don't tag our things with anything, right? Yeah. And I don't know.
It's weird that we could be pushed out just by an informal. Do you know what I mean? Like,
well, we weren't really pushed out. I mean,
who sets these things? And like, if we decided to start tagging everything with, you know, hash KOL or whatever, would we get some flack from the Kings of Leon people, or would like? Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
It's hard to... You know what I wish that I could do is I wish that there was an easy way to just do, like, a fresh Google search that doesn't pay attention to your history and stuff to see, like, what, for an uninformed person, Google
it's
is going to...
It's going to vary based on what's on your computer in most cases, though. Because,
yeah,
like, I feel like, unless I'm wrong, Google has fingers into what you do and what you've done in the past and will tailor all your searches to be sort of... improved based on that. You could go to Wolfram Alpha because they don't have any data on you yet.
Oh, yeah.
What is Kingdom of Loathing?
Yeah. Are you allowed to give Wolfram Alpha data about stuff?
I don't know. Probably. If it's you know, actual concrete information that people would actually reference.
Wolfram Alpha seems neat, you know, but it seems like I can't imagine a time when I would need it for anything.
I feel like it would be great for high schoolers.
Yeah. Like, yeah, okay. I guess if I was, like, writing a report on China, you know. Yeah. Like...
And scientists, maybe. You know, like, maybe there are some specific... You know, if you have a bunch of data that you need to parse, but you don't want to have to, like, actually write a bunch of parsing utilities or whatever, you could theoretically just give it to them and...
Have them build you a...
Well, and maybe their tools just sort of do it. I mean, I don't know how much the curation of it has to be done manually versus automatically. Because, you know, I feel like if you have information on rows and columns or whatever, that maybe you can just strip that out and, like, apply that sort of semantically to...
So what if you had information on homos instead of heteros?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they deal with that kind of thing.
I wonder if Wolfram Alpha knows how many... Chinamen are gay.
Ask.
How many... Doesn't it run on, like, some Java thing?
I don't know, dude.
I don't know. Let's...
Is it not just at wolframalpha.com or whatever?
I don't know if it's at wolframalpha.com. Is it Wolfram Alpha? How many gay Chinamen are there? I should follow this up with how many gay Chinamen walk into a bar.
That would be awesome. If you could ask it, if you could ask who walked into a bar, and then it would reply, a nun, a priest, and a rabbi.
That'd be fine.
And then you could ask it, then what happened? Wolfram Alpha isn't sure what to do with your input. Who knows? What percentage of Chinese people are men?
That's good. That one, it should totally be able to answer.
You think? No.
Wow, that is a pretty straightforward question.
Yeah. Huh. How many Chinese men are there? I misspelled there. Yeah, it totally isn't. This is not working. Oh, China male population. How many Chinese men are there? China male population, 684. How many?
684?
684,
yeah. That can't be right.
The male population of China is 684 million.
That makes sense, because it's about 1.2 billion or so, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but how many gay Chinese men are there? Doesn't work.
There may very well not be statistics on that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's entirely possible that the government of China suppresses all kinds of information about closets.
How many Chinese men are over 5 feet tall? No, it doesn't know what to do with that either. Universal Knowledge Engine sucks ass.
Data on the average height of Australian men, though? You didn't use Wolfram Alpha.
I didn't.
Okay.
Yeah. That's weird. How did you know about that?
I have ears in many countries.
I see. Yeah. Okay. John Raman says, when the Slime Tube boss is defeated, it should hit everyone in the clan with 100 turns of some miserable debuff.
Oh, cause
even the people
explode,
weren't in the dungeon. That'd be awesome.
Oh, gross. Yeah. But how do you know which members were in the clan were like hanging out in the clan hall at the time?
That's true. You know, we could kill so many birds with one stone if we made it. So killing the slime tube boss let a blast of slime into the VIP room that knocked whoever was currently in control of the pool table into the hot tub. So it doesn't really hurt them. Right.
But it ends their streak and cleans off any debuffs that they have.
I like that forum thread about how the narrator is getting pushier.
It's weird that it's not just a single being.
Man Mobile says, can you... I wonder if that's the same Man Mobile from Metroplexity, who's always pwning my ass in PvP. Because if so, the answer, Man Mobile, to whatever you want me to do is no, you jerk. Yeah. I'm enjoying the PvP in Metroplexity.
That is so weird.
It sets it up like monster fights, you know? It just creates these simulacra of
other players.
Yeah. It's interesting.
But then you get reports of how you did when you were attacked as a simulacra.
Just whether you won or lost. Right. But it's not really you, right? It just kind of creates a copy of you.
It's actually... There's like a narrative pursuit that it's actually a clone or something?
No. I mean, it was you, but it doesn't... I'm saying, when they kill you, it doesn't actually take your hit points away.
Right.
Because that would suck.
Right. But isn't there some way to get extra copies? Like, more copies?
Yeah, well, I mean, okay, so, like, when you're fighting, I don't know exactly how this works. I don't know if there's a fixed number of people that can occupy a space in control, or if a given person can be in it a certain number of times, right? But, like, I think when you get control, it creates some copies of you or a copy of you in the zone that other people have to fight to wrest control from you, but you can set your agenda to a case where you get, like, a non-combat that adds another copy of you into the queue.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's fun. Their combat system, like, it's got that kind of interesting, like, deck of cards system, but the monsters all have... And nobody's quite sure how this works, right? They're not sure if the monsters actually draw from a deck or if they just have certain, like, cards that they can play.
Oh, I see.
But it does work like that. Like, they have specific attacks that they can do, and they do it. Like, the fact that every round of combat is, like, multiple actions is interesting. I don't know. You should play it and at least check it out.
Just to see the mechanics of it.
Yeah. Yeah. You can join our guild.
Yeah.
I mean, our gang. It's a gang.
Sure I could.
We pwn all the noobs.
Like, so,
Man
is that
Mobile
the name of your
and
guild?
The kitchen sink. No, it's Jumbucks and a Tucker Bag, man. I've got my guild name from here
forever.
On out. Yeah, never needs to change.
See, people are going to start taking that now that they know that that's your deal. Like,
now,
Jick and Jumbucks and a Tucker Bag are just going to be taken from now on.
Yeah.
Every game you try to play. It's going to suck. But I guess at least with Jumbox and Tuckerback, you can join whoever else made it. Right?
Mm-hmm. So I finally got back into town, and I was like, oh, that's true. Yeah, I'll have to just beg them to let me in. And but I'm the real Jake. I'll end up like fucking Shaq on Twitter.
The real, like with underscores and stuff.
Yeah, the underscore Jake, yeah. And then I can go into that person's Jumbox and a Tuckerbag clan and be like, what song is this? Wah, wah, wee, wah, wah, wee, wah, 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 wee, wah. That was the... and then he
that's kind of funny.
And then he made fun of Oprah Winfrey on Twitter for talking in all caps.
So Oprah, does Oprah Winfrey Twitter herself as well?
I don't know.
Nah.
I do not know.
Man.
Twitter is kind of obnoxious as a... I think that we're going to look back on this time as like, man, I can't believe everybody spent so much energy and effort on Twitter. How dumb were we? I think as a society, we're going to feel that way.
I wonder if... I feel like there's going to come some kind of... Well, like the Google is making something that's like just a freaky integration of email, all the different like social networking sites, Twitter, that stuff. Like it's all integrated into a single tool, which I don't know how that works. And they're like, yeah, it's not really exactly intuitive, but once you sort of figure it out and start using it, it's really, really powerful.
Huh. The problem that I have is that I don't want...
It's called the wave.
I don't want all those things to be there all the time, right? Like,
yeah.
That's the thing. Like, I could be pretty comfortable if I only ever Twittered when I was in the bathroom, right? If I only ever looked at the Twitter and I only ever posted anything to the Twitter
but
when
then
I was in the
there would just be a button you could push, poop is coming out now.
But that's not what I'm saying I would Twitter about.
I see.
Did you see that toilet that guy hooked up to Twitter so that it would post to Twitter every time it got flushed?
No,
it was pretty funny.
We used to be able to... I told you we used to be able to flush the toilet from the internet.
Yeah.
Because we hooked up the thing to the...
And you could call the washing machine to see if there was any laundry in it.
Yeah. That was like before I got there. But when I was actually in my fraternity, one of the guys set it up such that you could tone it into the toilet and flush it.
It just seems like it's like a machine for wasting water.
Well, it was...
Oh, yeah. You know what it's good for? If you're on the phone with somebody while you're shitting...
Oh,
you don't want them to know, right? So you can't
the
flush the toilet. You always leave the room, and then somebody walks in and they're like, dude, what the fuck?
Yep. No, but...
What have you been eating?
You can tell it was an electrical engineer who set this up, because instead of actually building some sort of device to actuate the flushing thing, he took an old printer and mounted it to the wall, and then it would... When you gave it the flush command, it would just send, like, a carriage return, so it would send the thing across to the other side of the carriage or whatever. It was like an old dot matrix printer or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then that would pull the thing that flushed, pull the bar that pushed the lever or whatever.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. So, because he wasn't going to build a new device, he was just going to...
Because then it's like art.
Yeah, kind of.
In addition, you know, having
kinda.
That'd be annoying, though, because if somebody saw you go to the bathroom, they could just keep flushing the toilet.
Well, sure.
Oh, man. Remote swirly.
Insert head into toilet now.
Yeah. Seriously, jerk. Or we'll take your lunch money.
Your credit card.
Yeah, insert credit card so we can steal your lunch money. Yeah. Anyway, Man Mobile wrote, can you change Scrolls of Drastic Healing to stop us from using one when we have maximum hit points? I hate it when chat lags out and I end up using 2 or 3. And then, haha, can you change Scrolls of Drastic Healing to stop us from using one when we have maximum HP? I hate it when chat lags out and I end up using 2 or 3.
That's pretty funny.
That is pretty funny. You know, I have been super inconsistent with the way that I've handled healing items and skills and stuff in the past.
Scroll of Drastic Healing was like the first healing.
Yeah, I think it was one of the first healing. Well, no, the Dot Galactic stuff was was the first. Were the Dot Galactic things were the first.
I see.
Sometimes it'll stop you from using items. If it's like something valuable, then I'll usually put a little more care into it. But like, you know, sometimes like some items will only report how much they actually healed. You know, like, some items are coded to not ever give you more hit points than you have. Some of them do.
Oh, weird.
You know, like, it's what probably should have happened very early on. Like, all... Well, no, not exactly. I would say the reporting from all combat healing items is done through this consistent function, which was nice, because then that made it so, like, you know, we could do something that increased healing from combat items or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And it would be one bit of whatever, one line of code. that. We've got to pare down the fight script. That's the problem with all these white screens. There is some set of circumstances under which the server runs out of memory, and because of that, the precompiler will. I think it periodically recompiles the scripts.
I see.
Right. So for those of you who have not ever had this, you know, listen to a radio show where we've explained this. The way that our servers are set up is that before Apache was having to compile every script to bytecode every single time it got called. The fight script is huge. The fight script is like half a meg of code. Right. And so the server was using just an inordinate number of CPU cycles, constantly recompiling that script. So we installed, at C.D. Moyer's urgings, a precompiler that would compile. It compiles the stuff to bytecode whenever it changes, and then the web server, when it gets a request to run the fight script, just runs that bytecode instead of having to recompile it every time. And that was this just watershed immediately. We suddenly went from, like, 100% usage on all of the CPUs, on all the servers, all the time, to, like, 10%, right? So that allowed us to start doing other stuff with the servers, to have fewer servers, which turns out, at this point, to have bitten us in the ass, because now the servers are starting to run out of memory, which they're not, it's not too much of a strain on the CPU anymore, but it gets to the point where, just time-wise, there aren't enough copies of Apache running. Because, you know.
So for each copy of Apache, it needs to have a compiled version?
No. Each instance of Apache just accesses, just runs in memory, right? And it's existing the same bytecode. But what happens is it will re-precompile the script anytime it changes.
Right.
It pulls it to see if the length on the script is the same. And if it's not, then it'll recompile it. I think it also just periodically recompiles it just in case, which that, I feel like, when that happens under certain low memory conditions, it is creating a broken copy of the fight script. It is the right size. The fight script is identical to the fight scripts on all the other ones, but the compiled version gets broken.
I see.
And I don't really know what the fuck. Like, it is only happening to the fight script, so it is some problem with running out of memory and there being that just giant-ass script.
Is that the largest script at this point?
What's that?
Is that the largest script at this point?
Yeah, it always has been.
Okay.
At one point, we shaved it down a lot by just doing a bunch of stuff, you know, moving a bunch of unnecessary stuff out into, you know, like big blocks of text, calling them out of the database instead of... you know, there was a lot of stuff written into the fight script back in the day that wasn't in the database because... if we're working during a time when the database is the bottleneck, we're going to be less likely to build features into the database if we could just, you know, type the text into the script. And that's stupid because there's no way to get rid of it without, you know, just rewriting it to use the database later. But we basically need to spend some time trying to shrink the fight script so that this doesn't happen now. And I also need to order some RAM, and then we need to go to the data center. And,
well.
Nerve-wracking.
Can you get RAM next week?
Yeah, it's going to be frustrating. The thing is, we need to order one, make sure it's the right kind, and make sure it's going to work and stuff, and then order the rest and just kind of do it in two trips.
Wow, that sucks.
So that sucks. You know, we might have to come up with some other solution on this to last us through July.
What about taking one of the servers out of rotation and rebooting it every couple hours? One of the web servers. To clear up, just to free up all the RAM.
It wouldn't really. It's not like it's. They do. Apache gets restarted like once a day because Apache has. There's some weird bug in Apache where whatever the largest memory footprint of a given Apache process is, every Apache process from then on has that same footprint.
That's terrible.
Yeah, it's weird. It seems like something that would have been fixed
cascading.
A long time ago, but it's still problematic. The reason we're starting to run out of RAM on the servers is because rolling out the clan dungeon spiked usage, right? And it's still higher than it has been.
Uh-oh.
So, you know, we'd been fine for a long time, and the size of the fight script wasn't causing these problems for a long time. But there is a significant amount of stuff that can fairly easily be pulled out of it, so I think we should be able to fix it. Sorry about this whole Mike Gravity thing.
You could... Okay.
Hi, my name's Mike Gravity.
take a piece of wire.
I'm morally safer.
Or string. Tie it to the frames of your glasses, and then tie the other end to the...
I could.
The mic boom, and that'll keep it from falling. You could use that rubber band. Right there. The one on the table.
That's true. I could. How did we get from Man Mobile's question to that discussion about
chat doubling,
healing stuff, healing
chat
items.
Lagging out,
yeah,
healing items, then just the code in general, maybe. I don't remember.
Yeah. Oh well. One of the big ways in which we shrunk down the fight script is by moving all of the combat item code into the database. So it's actually stored with the item rather than stored in the fight script. And that cut the size of the fight script like in half. Because they're, you know, once we had 500 different combat items. It's also one of those things where it's like, oh, hey, let's do something that we know is the right idea that just creates 40 or 50 hours of incredibly tedious work. Like,
oh, yeah.
Copying and pasting code from one place to another.
You did something with potions, too, recently. That was the same kind of deal.
Potions and their effects are generalized and stored in the database now. Which, the thing is, it does make it a lot easier to develop content, you know? Like, ever leaving the Spindler, you know, like, and also recently, like, making it so effects actually stored something in the database about what they did, rather than those being all hard-coded, like, right. You know. Now, we can go in, we can create an item that is a potion, we can create an effect, tell it what the effect does, roll it out, and people can use it, and we don't have to change or push any code to the live servers.
Oh, because it's all in the database.
Yeah, because it's just all generalized. But, you know, every time we generalize something, we end up the next week coming up with some content application that requires us to break it again and end up hard-coding something, you know? And it's just... I feel like it's kind of a chronic issue with designing games, right? Because the things that you like about games are not the things that are consistent and the same as other games. The things that you like about games, the interesting things that you discover, are the things that break the rules, right? And so you either have to make the rules such that, all right, here's a rule for this one thing that we're going to do later... Or you have to set up a system like, all right, let's make some healing potions. But then later on, you're like, we need this to be more interesting than a regular healing potion. Oh, let's make it a healing potion that also gives you a buff, right? But it's not set up to do that. But, like, it's just a thing that's going to happen during the development of a game, I think.
Huh.
You know, you're gonna wanna set up rules so that you can consistently do work without having to write new code for it. But then... in order to make it interesting, you have to violate those rules. Because what you're doing in order to make something interesting is not necessarily violating the player's expectations, but setting up novelty, right? Like,
right.
Trying to create a novel experience for the player is just necessarily going to require you to break your own rules. I guess it is possible that you could just design every aspect of a game on paper, and then you just don't have to worry about it, right? Then I guess it would be possible to know going in what every item in the game is going to do. The programmer could then look at all those things, but I feel like in practice that's never going to happen.
Yeah, I feel like you're going to build the game, and then you're going to be like, oh, we need something more here.
Because there's no parallelization at all in that, case.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, it's easy to sit down and design a game on paper, but it's not easy to make it comprehensive.
That's true.
You know, once like every time, even if it's some little like prototype thing I'm messing with or whatever, I'll do it all, I'll have a picture of every screen, I'll have like everything laid out, and then when I sit down to actually do it, I'm like, oh fuck. How do we deal with this? You know, like, because there's just things that you don't think of. Yeah. Severus says, whatever happened to that picture of Jick and Drag? I can no longer find it, and that makes me sad. I don't know how that picture got on the internet in the first place.
I
might have scanned it and given it to somebody.
Because you're that kind of guy.
Wait, did I put that up on as my player pick at one point?
I don't know.
Did somebody do that? I feel like I maybe remember that happening back when Thor and Adria ran the player pick site.
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. Gugu says, there was a thread a couple weeks back talking about an auto-sell from the mall option that would allow you to auto-sell items directly from your store. Thoughts? The store interface I'm reluctant to add features to the store interface because the feature that that interface really needs is a fire. It's to create some ashes for it to rise from which for it to rise from. Zelinda says, Jick, about the original Battlestar Galactica, I kind of like it too. And a funny thing, my dad was a driver in Hollywood at the time and worked on the set. He was at the rap party where one guy in a Cylon suit took a little too much advantage of the free drinks and food, and let's just say the costume lady was not happy. And then he says, one last thing. Where the hell does the "it's the sweetest blank in the world, and God bless it, but it's adjective as fuck" thing come from? That comes from the Tourette's guy. Which, you know, look it up.
It's worth
your entertainment dollars.
About, yeah, it's. Do you think it's real?
I don't know. There was the contention that it was not, right? Mm-hmm. It was all made up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think everything is probably fake. The game isn't real. We've just been faking it this whole time.
Google Fairy also asking why there's no ShamWow references with the slime tube. You know, I guess the thing is, but I mean, there is a ShamWow. It's in the bundle item description is the thing, right? And I guess most people aren't seeing that.
Sure.
So that's why they're asking.
It's only going to be raid admins that see them, or people who look at them.
You
can
look at them in the mall. Yeah. It's probably there are probably a lot of usability things that we sacrifice for humor value because you can't search for chamois, right? Searching for chamois would not work. That is what you would expect to have to type into the search box to find those. But the
because it's
using
the
X pluralization, just because I think it's cool that that is an acceptable way to pluralize chamois. Chamois.
It's like framboise.
Chamois and sham jobs. Get it? Was.
Yeah.
Get it?
Yeah. No, I get it.
Hot stuff, do you get it?
Yeah. You saw it. You were the one that told me about Pirates of Silicon Valley, right? The movie,
yes.
That little TV movie or whatever. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed that little
movie. It was pretty good. Yeah, I don't remember a whole lot about it. I think I watched it at the Pretentious Artist's house a long time ago. Somehow I remember that. There's this book on a shelf at the Pretentious Artist's parents' house up in the mountains. Called it's like The Jeweled Arts, I think is the name of it, but the J was in a lighter color that had completely faded to obscurity, so it said The Jeweled Arts, and I don't know, there's a few things at that house. The house is very packed with stuff.
Uh-huh.
Right, they've been living there for a long time and collecting stuff, and there's a lot of interesting things in the house, including that book about The Jeweled Arts. It was like art projects for using a sheep. Or the ewe-led arts. What you do is, like, you tie a rope to the back of a sheep and put, like, a pencil on it. And then you let the sheep walk around. And whatever the pencil draws counts as ewe-led art.
Did you see that that auto ad that was, like, a giant, like, hockey ring covered with paper? And then just a car driving through paint. Making designs and stuff like that.
I saw a poster at the airport that was a picture of that. It was like a car on a bunch of tire tracks and paint. It doesn't seem like that would actually work. It seems like it would just fly everywhere unless you were driving really, really slowly.
What do you mean fly everywhere?
Paint would go everywhere. There would be splatters of paint everywhere if you did that, flying off the tires. And also, it seems like what would happen is you would drive a car through a thing
of paint,
and then there would be like 2 or 3 feet of tire track that would then
it lasts for a while. Like even when they're painting the road, and they're not even going for like a lot of paint on there.
When you see, I guess they're not going for a lot of paint, but not dozens of feet.
Yeah,
you don't get dozens of feet of tire tracks out of a paint stripe.
Did I tell you about the time that somebody was doing some road painting or whatever, and this was like 6 months ago or whatever, and they I don't even know if it was somebody was doing it. There was some road painting being done, but then there was like this like sort of like burst of paint at like a stoplight, right? And then this trail of paint that sort of drove off, and it kept going, and I just happened to be going, I was driving to your house,
and like it was like following the same basic route, and then it took a turn. I was like, So I like followed it, and it like went into a residential community, and it was like somebody had like some sort of construction car or whatever, and had just like probably about 2 or 3 miles of paint, and it led right up to his house. And we like drove up, and he was like hosing off his car right that moment. We just like shook our heads and then drove on. Oh man.
Raymond Kinger says, "Hey guys, just wondering if any other uses for the Mayfly bait are in the works."
I think we're going to fix it so that it actually does something in the slime tube soon.
Yeah, is that your goal?
That's at least one of the goals.
That and something underwater.
Yes. I mean, it does something underwater, but something better underwater would be nice.
I think I missed a question that I was about to read. I think I just flushed it.
I have a non-flushed version.
Oh, do you? Yeah. What, is there anything that looks like I was about to read it?
I mean, I don't know. There was the accordion thieves pickpocket something.
Yeah, it's somewhere near there, I think.
We are raping so much we must be in Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
Was that it?
Then maybe it was, yeah.
Terrible says, "I was playing something with my friends the other day and made the comment, 'We are raping so much we must be in Mexico,' and none of them got it."
Yeah.
That's not really a question, though.
I'm not surprised.
A statement.
I'm not surprised that people wouldn't get that. That radio show was fun, I guess. That's the question, right? Like, if you drink until you're blacked out,
yeah,
did you have a good time? Like, does it count?
Like, if you don't remember it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it is subjectively possible to have a good time that you don't recall, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay, here's the thing, though. So, you're okay with that as an experience, but you're not okay with them giving you a drug,
yeah,
which would make
well,
you forget.
That's what I was. Pain. That's what I was thinking about. Right?
Okay.
Like, yeah. So, had to get a medical procedure that they normally give you anesthetic for, but I made them not give me anesthetic because the anesthetic that they give you does not knock you out. It just makes it so you don't remember. And I'm like, if it's not actually going to stop me from experiencing the pain, I don't want to mess with it, right? Like, because I was more scared of the anesthesia than I was the procedure, right?
Right.
And it was like, which is one of those things where the doctor was like, all of the people, all of the nurses and the anesthesiologists and everybody, they were like, seriously, you want to do this without anesthesia? And the doctor, who was from India, said, this is the only country in the world that regularly anesthetizes people for this procedure, so fine. Like, he was the only one that wasn't like acting all weirded out by it, and that was super comforting. Like, it was cool.
It's kind of weird that nobody else understood, considering that, I don't know, it seems pretty obvious to me that that's not really anesthesia.
It's really like Karari, right? Where it's like, we give you this Karari and we can perform surgery on you and you won't scream. It's not because it doesn't hurt, it's because it fucking paralyzes you, right? It's like, how long did it take them to figure that out? Like, seems like once would have been enough, and one person would suddenly, as soon as they could move, they would move to punch the dude.
I think it's pretty reasonable to be more scared of anesthesia than surgery, right?
Because I mean, anesthesia is kind of the dangerous thing about a lot of surgery.
Well, I mean, there's definitely some, but
I feel like if you looked at like the number of people who like die from getting their tonsils taken out,
yeah, how much of that is
almost all fuck ups of or allergies or bad responses to the anesthesia, rather than like, oh, I accidentally removed your heart instead of your tonsils, right?
Or if they screw up after they've pried your head in half,
right?
if they don't sew it back together, right?
Yeah, right.
I don't even want to think about like getting my molar, not molars, my wisdom teeth taken out. Like, I think they really just pry your jaw open to do it because it.
I mean, they didn't when I got mine taken out. Do you need your wisdom teeth taken out?
I had them taken out.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I just... I mean, I was out. I was...
Yes,
yeah,
I wouldn't let them put me out for that either.
Oh, God, no. I was in a lot of pain afterwards, and I'm glad that I was not conscious, because I didn't have them impacted or whatever, but they were...
Yeah, mine were real easy to do, and the oral surgeon that I had was, like, just super good, too. Huh. It just didn't... It took, like, 15 minutes.
Oh, I was
like, it took way longer. It took way longer to wait for the anesthesia for the local anesthetic to kick in. See, but I kind of feel like that. Like, I sort of look forward to having dreams at night because I feel like most of my dreams are probably at least, you know, they're more interesting than just being unconscious. And the fact that I don't remember them the next day doesn't mean that I didn't experience them.
right? And I'm curious a lot of the time if waking up with insights is waking up having consciously arrived at those things in a dream.
Do you think there's parts of showers we don't remember? Because we've got a lot of insights in showers.
No, that's probably it.
Huh.
But, you know, just like waking up with jokes that you've never
waking
heard before.
Waking up with Joe?
Okay. Yeah, waking
why
up.
Why are you here and who are you?
Yeah. He was like, eat at my place. And then he flies off in a blimp. we should...
answer some more questions.
So this is going to be problematic. If we start drinking that Hoppet now, and we end up going to this thing...
Maybe we can share it with the multitude of other people in the office.
Where we drink more, we're going to be fucked up.
I don't have much to do tomorrow.
Okay. I got to get up early and take my car in for service.
I see.
And I got to yell at the dude who ripped me off last time. I'm really not looking forward to that.
That was kind of some bullshit.
I hate being confrontational, but I also hate getting fucked. So my two hates are at odds. let's see. I got to learn how to navigate all this new music. You should answer a question. You should read a question and answer a question while I...
Mitchell asks if there's going to be a clan dungeon-themed tiny plastic set. I don't know that we have enough content to make a tiny plastic. I mean, I guess you could do a small
not
run.
Yet. We will eventually.
Yeah.
Or we could just do, you know, a set of 30 names chosen out of the hobo generator.
Yeah, you could do that. Or there was that... somebody was talking about the... tiny plastic set of tiny plastic objects you're likely to never acquire
just to make the tiny plastic sword.
Yeah. Well, that was the inspiration, but a tiny plastic mafia knickerbockers or whatever.
Mm-hmm. All right, got some music queued up, and we'll see you guys in like 10 minutes after at which point we will be sloppy drunk.
Blah blah blah.
A dream sky, etchings of a memory past recall a land where lucid visions become that which is absolute. If a free mind commands the mundane, the unimaginable overpowers the boundaries of conscious thought. And when the temporal world is relinquished, only then can one indulge.
from off the road. Can we form your here we come, right back where we started from. Let's grab your gun, your gun.
I feel like the volume is kind of... No, it's these headphones. Yeah, never mind. I'm going to say the sound quality seemed really terrible there for a second, but I'm curious to listen to this recording and see if we sound any better than...
Than when we were doing this over Skype.
Bullshit, yeah.
Gotta sound better than over Skype.
Than that time when we had the headphones taped to the microphone. Yeah. Rain Ribbon says, could it please be made possible to reorder the display case shelves without removing all the items from one and replacing them in another, then changing the shelf names? I know it's a hassle. I know it's a hassle. try and convince Uncle CD Moyer.
Yeah.
Nami says, how do people fit the gerbils up their asses? This must be in reference to a conversation that I was having with Mr. Skullhead. Because I don't think I would talk to you guys about gerbils in the ass.
It's an actual practice, though, that people do, right?
I don't think that that's true. I think it's an actual apocryphal urban legend moral panic.
I don't know that it's a moral panic. It's just like, you know.
No, man. There were all these books, like there were these mothers groups against Richard Gere.
Oh, yeah.
their organization was named MARGE. Mothers Against Richard Gere Enthusiasm.
Why are people getting all up in arms about elemental resistance and resists all elements
they're,
and stuff?
Because they're wrong. Because
they think that
they
slime...
They want slime to be an element, and there's this whole argument about whether slime is an element or not.
It's just not.
It's just not, yeah. I mean, here, I'll settle this argument for you right now. I've decided that it's not, and I'm the one who gets to decide that.
There are five elements, and there are other kinds of attacks. Like, no one ever complained about shadow, but I guess
right,
we didn't have anything...
But we didn't have resistance to shadow. We didn't have resistance
to
bad
spelling.
Yeah.
But we could have.
Right, we could have. But if we had, we would have had this conversation then instead of...
I see.
Instead of now.
People just aren't used to the resistance. In fact, you know, what might happen is there might be some sort of uprising about the elements.
Right. The resistance.
The resistance.
Yeah. Every time I think of the word resistance in that context, I think of the scene from Top Secret where the big black dude's like, drink this! And he takes a sip and says, what is this? Gasoline! Like, that's just one of my favorite scenes. It's like, I was drinking gasoline. He's very enthusiastic about it. And he thinks it's very funny that he's just gotten Val Kilmer to drink some gasoline.
That was a pretty funny movie.
Subbot says, there is untradeable Ascension-relevant stuff in the slime tube. I thought you said this wouldn't happen. What gives? So that's a question, right? I don't
so this
know...
Is, it's just the...
It's just the skill nodules.
Okay.
I honestly don't remember what I said about this, right?
I seem to remember you making a promise that Hobopolis would not have anything.
Yeah, I know. Sure. I know. I said that about Hobopolis, and that was at least one of our sort of guiding design principles there. I don't know that I extended that to, like, if somebody like has a clip from a radio show. Gosh, if only there was somebody who sought out contradictions and collected them. If somebody has a clip from the radio show where I made that promise, I'd like to hear what I said, and then what I will do is probably explain why I have changed my mind, as opposed to, like, opposed to, like, changing my mind now. Because this is really, especially...
Given the extremely low threshold required to...
And the fullness of time, we'll realize exactly how low, you know, This is significantly less of a hassle than Lucre, which is not to say that we should do more things that are like Lucre for speed ascenders, right? But, like, it's really not that big of a deal. And the gimmick of this, whereas, like, let's see, the gimmick that was going to keep people interested and keep people playing Hobopolis was the name generator and the stuff that you buy with nickels. The gimmick in this one is Ascension relevance, right? Like, the fact that you will be able to make some money by running this for people who will pay you to spend one turn in your run and get the organ if it comes up, the one that they want. And, like, that's, you know, I like that idea.
Right.
And
we could be super friendly and put them in a zap group if you wanted to.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's true. That is true. That would be pretty nice.
But even then, it's still not technically, like, maulable.
Yeah.
And that's, it, like...
We can make them gift items, and then make gift items not work in the trade system anymore.
What threshold are we willing to set? Because, like, that's my take on this. Like, whereas, like, a hamster is distinctly not tradable, and you have to be able to, like, if you're, like, buying a hamster, you have to be able to get through the sewers fast enough that you don't invalidate a hamster run to get it. Right? Does that make sense? Like, mm-hmm. So there's significant barriers to you actually getting a hamster if you're not going to run a Hobopolis run.
And putting, you know, because of that, and because it requires you to get through the sewer, it requires you to actually be invested in being good at Hobopolis to get stuff out of there using the same kind of, like, oh, we'll pay us and we'll let you along on this run and give you this thing if it drops kind of thing. Like, it would have been a lot more of a dick move to put something Ascension relevant and untradeable in Hobopolis than this. You know, this is... The other thing is, I think... I can imagine feeling very differently about the place of clan dungeons in the game, in the grand scheme of things, before it became evident how popular Hobopolis was going to be. And how much sustained and massive effort was going to go into continuing to play with it, you know? And it turned out to be a much larger success than I had really dared to hope in terms of a piece of content that we added to the game. Like, we did not know whether it was going to be... We honestly were concerned at various points during the development of Hobopolis that we were wasting our time, that we were making content that only a handful of people were ever going to see, and that turned out to be totally not true. Right, and that I'm really happy about that, but you know, I'm trying to think when I would have said that, right? Because I couldn't have said it before Hobopolis rolled out.
I think you did, though.
Or maybe I did.
I think people were concerned. They're like, I don't want to have to run a clan dungeon, but I'm a sender. I'm afraid that I'm going to have to do this in order to be competitive.
If it was before Hobopolis rolled in, that I guess, you know.
I think it was. I think you were assuaging people's fears, like. this is not something that you need to worry about. Nothing in there will be Ascension relevant and not tradable, I think. That is my memory of it, and my memory is terrible. So,
right.
You know, that's a caveat.
Maybe somebody will come up with it. Maybe somebody will point out that.
But you've explained what our rationale is for this. I feel like if we did another dungeon that had like a lead in, like the sewer, I think we would be a lot less likely to put Ascension relevant stuff in there in an untradeable kind of way. But you know, it's. I don't want to necessarily marry us to that philosophy forever.
Right. I mean, it's one of those things where, like, you know, we do a new PvP system. Do we put anything Ascension relevant in there? Because if we do, then it makes both games richer, but not. But right. You know, at the expense of like maybe making people engage in a playstyle that they don't like. Which partly, I think, it is our responsibility as designers to get people to try things out that they don't necessarily think that they're interested in. Because if you force a bunch of people to do PvP to get a trophy, maybe some people who don't think that they would like PvP, so right. They would never do it if you didn't, like, make them do it by putting a trophy in there. You know, maybe they discover something that they really enjoy and they contribute to the community of that aspect of the game in a way that makes it better for everybody, right? So, like,
I mean, the arena gear in World of Warcraft, at least at the, I don't know anything about the level 80 content, but the level 70 content, there were definitely pieces of that that, like, it just definitely made sense for you to go for. And whether or not you were into PvP, you just kind of had to grind through at least, you know, a couple weeks of arena combat or whatever to get the points for it. And, you know, I think a lot of people, it does a couple things. For people who aren't into it, you know, they have to do it and they have to sort of suffer through it or whatever. But it provides a lot of fodder for people that are into it to, like, have targets, right?
Yeah,
like,
that's an interesting point.
It's this weird design thing for, you know, using the Bartle system. Like, clubs need to have targets.
It's not fun for them to grief each other.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like,
they like to grief hearts a lot, and they like to grief diamonds somewhat. You know, and so, you know, anytime you put something Ascension relevant in a PvP system, diamonds are always going to go for it, and then the clubs get to beat on them. And if you put, like,
but that's the thing, like, who is the fun that you're giving the people who are enthusiastic about PvP worth more than the anger that you're causing the people who just want to be in there for the rewards?
The hearts really want something to complain about, and I mean, not to be crass, but this gives them something to complain about.
That is true. Like, it definitely creates some drama for them. The diamonds
just get frustrated, but they'll do it, and then they'll have it, and then they're done. You know,
I mean, the diamonds kind of need something to complain about too, because I feel like achievement in the absence of adversity is a little less, but you don't want the adversity. A lot of people at least don't want the adversity to be other players.
Right.
I mean, it's weird. I will tell you that I fucking hate getting ganked in World of Warcraft,
right.
But I never got a character to the level cap until I created one on a PvP server.
Right.
And I don't know if it is because being scared just made the world more real and more compelling. I mean, the fact that, like, going out there and it's like, okay, this is not World of Puppy Farming Craft. This is this is a place where there is a war going on, and I am a soldier in this war. I'm not here to help the farmers collect 10 pumpkins, right? I'm here because there is something going on in the world that is a dangerous and dynamic and threatening world. Could also be a coincidence. It could just be that was also the first time I was ever on a server where I was in a guild, you know, and the first server on which I ever got to run any dungeons, right? Like, to see the actual kind of high-end crafted content of the game. So I don't know. You know, these are the kind of questions that we're going to have to think seriously about and talk seriously about when we get back into working on the new PvP system in earnest, right? Do we put Ascension-relevant rewards in...
My inclination is yes.
My inclination is also yes. My prediction is a lot of pissing and moaning, but the thing is,
I think it will be so much more fun. Like, PvP is, like, the stuff that we've done is kind of fun.
Yeah.
Even in the really rough stages that it is.
It's the nascent existing testing I've kind of arrived at some, I think, more straightforward ways to approach some of the stuff from an experience standpoint that will make it. It will make me feel a lot better about it. I think. I don't know. We've got
a lot of talking to do.
Yeah, we do have a lot of talking to do. So we need to drink more.
Let's go to some city in California for a month and work on PvP.
Okay. All right. We could go to the beach, and that will make us angry.
That's true. Yeah. People kick sand in our faces.
No, I don't want to go anywhere with you that it'll encourage you to take your goddamn shirt off. Stupid jock. Oh, boy. You want to play some beer pong?
What's funny is, like, I've been made fun of my entire life for being, like, a nerd, and then, like, people making fun of me for being a jock. It's just, I don't even know how to deal with it, because it's just not even in my experience at all.
Oh boy. I'm kind of curious. I'm kind of curious how the Diamonds will definitely complain. There will be some really vocal complaints if we put Ascension relevant content in PvP stuff.
Sure. Right? Especially if it's harder to get.
Especially if it's hard to get, yeah. But, you know, what I don't get is PvP is a Diamond game now in KOL.
Correct.
I feel like it would be all right if, like, as long as you can do it, as long as it's something that you can get
Riff, you should
necessarily being good at PvP.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. Being good or being persistent. I feel like that's kind of the way they do it in World of Warcraft, right? Because you can't
one or the other. I mean,
and I feel like that's the way that we were talking about it. It would be the same kind of thing.
You can't have a popular PvP system where it's zero sum, right? Like you can't a hardcore PvP game where the winner gets something and the loser gets nothing is going to be just forever relegated to a niche.
Yeah.
You know, like pre-Trammel Ultima Online or whatever. They always talk about that, right? Like Ultima Online used to be just unlimited player killing everywhere in the world.
You got all their stuff.
Yeah.
Wow.
But they got, like, they gave people the opportunity to move to a PvE server, basically, and everyone did.
Wow.
Yeah. Because it, like, not everyone, you know, there was this tiny group, even, but it was like niche among the niche that was willing to do the sort of grindiness that it took to play Ultima Online, right?
Right.
Like,
it's amazing how these virtual worlds have sort of developed over time, right? Like, the genesis to, like, and sort of the expansion and just, like, how many virtual worlds have been out there that have just completely failed, even though they were probably kind of interesting, and if, you know, had been given a chance, people would have been really invested in them, but...
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's weird now, because, like... I don't know. Oh, you know, I was sort of upset. Got into the Champions Online beta.
Yeah?
Right? And I was like, I couldn't run it on my laptop, and I was like, God damn it, you know, the whole time I was in New York, I was like, I can't wait to get home to play this, and they sent, because every time I got an email that was like, next playtest session, you know, tomorrow or whatever, and I got here, and I was like, man, when's there gonna be another playtest session? There was one fucking last night that they didn't send an email about, so I could have, after all this waiting, I could have played last night, but, anyway, I think tomorrow, all day.
What is Champions Online?
It's like Cryptic's superhero MMO that's about to launch.
Okay.
We saw it at Comic-Con, I believe. I believe we saw a demo at Comic-Con. I might be thinking of PAX, though.
Or Gen Con?
It's cel-shaded. I don't think Gen Con.
Okay.
I could be wrong. They might have been at Gen Con.
I don't know.
It's like cel-shaded, so it's more comic booky looking than City of Heroes.
That's kind
of
cool.
It's got a lot more. It's the demo at least seemed to be focused on, like, environmental stuff that you could do. Like, you can pick up cars and throw them at people, and
right.
You know, you can, like, you know, they kept showing these things, like, you know, an attack where you encase your enemy in a block of ice and then you pick up the block of ice and throw it off a cliff, right?
That's
like,
cool.
You know, so it depends on how gimmicky that is, right?
Is
and how much it ends up being just like
City of Heroes is still around and has a devoted following,
yeah,
and is profitable.
Yeah, it's got to be profitable. I feel like if it wasn't profitable, it wouldn't still be around.
Okay, so I mean, that, like, it's the superhero genre has sort of stood the test of time in regards to MMOs or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it is definitely better off than any sci-fi MMO that has ever come out.
Okay, right?
I think.
Maybe that's our niche. Maybe we need to make the sci-fi MMO.
The good sci-fi MMO.
Yeah.
I was thinking, man, I started thinking today about doing like a Star Control 2 kind of thing with the races that Scully established in the future stuff.
Jesus.
And it's, it, you know, it's doable. Like, I think, because I was just imagining what kind of ships, you know, the...
The shipsters?
The Bangyo Mamans and the hipsters. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Shipsters would be kind of funny, like, if they were the hipster, but also, like, gearhead type things. They're the ones that made all the, like, tricked out.
But they're the hipsterian. They could be the hipster shipster. They could just call their ships the shipster. Although, you know, maybe their ships all just look like... They have one ship that looks like the Enterprise and one ship that looks like the fighter from Battlestar Galactica. Like, all of their ship designs are also based on pop culture reference.
Shoe and just it's for old ladies to live in.
Anyway, you do it. How, you know, you think you could do a... Do you think that you could do... I'm not saying like an MMO, like a big budget, persistent world, everybody in the same space MMO. Do you think that we could make a KOL-like game that was also, that was more Star Control 2 than...
What do you mean? What do you mean
Legend of the Red Dragon?
Like, graphical?
No, I'm not, I mean, that's...
What do you mean, I guess? What, could we make a KOL-like that was... That was more Star Control 2 in terms of the content.
Yeah.
I see.
Like, do you think... I think that there is to some extent, this thing where, like, the reason that fantasy works and sci-fi doesn't tend to, in terms of a role-playing game, is that, like, it is very easy to identify with a guy holding a sword,
right,
and then looking at a bigger sword and trying to determine whether or not that sword was going to fuck up more goblins faster than the sword that he's holding, right?
Right.
As opposed to, are you a ship? Are you a crew? Like, are you, you know, so, like, you look at like a fantasy series like Xena Warrior Princess, right? You can imagine being Xena Warrior Princess. You can't imagine being Star Trek, right? It's just harder because there are more people and more stuff going on. Like, EVE Online, in my mind, suffers and is, you know, I know a lot of people love it, and I'm not going to say that it's a bad game, but I am going to say that it is not for me. And it is because you make a portrait of your person, but then you're just like, hey, you're a ship.
You really are a ship, aren't you?
Yeah. And it was kind of the same problem.
Are you not a fleet at any point? It's just a ship.
Yeah, you're just a ship. Oh, yeah.
Wow. Huh. Trade Wars was, you were a fleet? A ship? I can't remember if you had other ships. I think you might have had other ships.
I think you just had the one ship in Trade Wars. I mean, EVE Online is basically Trade Wars, right? Like, it's...
But that's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah.
I can't remember
you just
had
the one ship. I think you could own other ships, maybe have them... Maybe not, though.
There was some way to do to fight other people, I thought, but I don't remember how that worked. Trade Wars was fun. I enjoyed Trade Wars.
I didn't really care for it. I liked Legend of the Red Dragon and Usurper better because they were just... The scope was smaller.
Well, I mean... Trade Wars was just a connected set of nodes with different resources and stuff.
It was too big. Like, I hated Trade Wars.
You find a local area that you have some, like, trade advantage.
But I hated playing Trade Wars games where they didn't tell you where the starbase was. Like,
it wasn't always at 0-0 or whatever the...
No, I don't think so.
Weird.
Or if it was, you didn't always know how to get there, right? Like, it wasn't like...
Huh.
I don't actually remember how space was divided up in Trade Wars.
As I recall, each zone had a number, or each system or whatever had a number, and I thought Starbase was always at 0, but you didn't necessarily
know.
Oh,
yeah, okay, yeah. So the Starbase is always, you just don't know how to get there, right? Like, you couldn't always warp or something?
I don't remember, like, what... I just remember each number being connected to up to 3 or 7 other numbers,
yeah,
or something like that, and, like, you having to basically make a map.
I've thought a lot about how we would make the gameplay for a sci-fi version of KOL. Like, if we just did, you know, KOL 2, you know, hippies in space or whatever, like... Galaxy of Fear.
Yeah.
What kind of gameplay would you have in order to make it compelling, right? Like,
the problem is that I feel like KOL has its appeal, right? I don't think you'd want to make something that is exactly like KOL, just space-themed, because I feel
sure.
like people would...
Well, that also doesn't make any sense. I mean, you know...
Right. People are so much more savvy now. I feel like you could do... I really don't know. Like, there's so many different things that you could do. If you still wanted to make a browser-based game, I feel like there's still so many things you can do now with...
With Flash and some server architecture.
I was thinking Ajax.
I mean, action-y, you know, the thing is, I feel like a KOL-like game, just a, you know, a kind of a cat, because KOL is a casual game, right? Okay. Like, that's the problem,
at least,
right?
It has casual.
It has hardcore aspects to it, and it definitely, there is more to it if you dig for it, but it is, on the surface at least, a game that it should be pretty accessible and pretty easy to get into. So, like, I feel like tactical spaceship combat, where you're actually moving around and you've got, you know, like that just doesn't make it would work. You know, the whole limited turns thing is pretty core, right?
Right.
Like, so how do you do that?
I don't know.
You know, I despise games that charge you
movement points.
Charge you movement points.
Yeah.
I've never encountered one that I thought was fun in the long term. You know, like Nexus War, I enjoyed playing for quite a while, but I enjoyed it in spite of that rather than because of that. It's just
you. Enjoy text adventures, which often track the number of movements you make, right? The number of turns it takes. Not that you have a budget for them, but like that never bothered you, right?
Well, okay, but that's because I'm in a text adventure. I know that going west is not spending a resource that I could be using to pick up a treasure. I feel like that is entirely the thing. Like moving never does anything for you in these games, except get you where you're going to be.
Right.
So. Metroplexity is kind of interesting in that regard too. You have a location. You're like within even a single zone. It's weird. I don't exactly. I have a hard time imagining how this is actually stored on the back end. But like you are kind of making progress through zones in a lot different.
There are specific locations within a.
It's not really that. Like you are like there's a zone that you click on and it's like some sewers and then eventually you get a non-combat that. Lets you go into some caves underneath the sewers, right?
Okay.
And then your last adventure changes to caves underneath the sewers, but if you leave the container document, like, if you go to inventory or whatever, but if you physically leave the container document and then come back, you can't... It resets your last adventure. You can't be in the caves anymore. You can't be in the caves until you've re-unlocked them.
I see. You have to find the entrance again.
Yeah. And if you adventure in the sewers again, you have to then keep adventuring in the sewers until you unlock the cave again. So it's weird. I'm curious as to how intuitive that would be if you weren't accustomed to something like KOL, right? It does some things that I'm not sure are crystal clear on the surface to somebody coming in from zero, but. The container document that you're in is an aspect of your character, right? And so it costs money to move. You have to, like, take the subway from container to container, and it costs something, which very early in the game is actually a limiting factor.
It's
and later, it's a trivial cost, you know.
Huh.
But, it lets them do some interesting stuff, you know, having an actual sense of location.
Yeah, no, I like that a lot, actually.
Yeah. I mean, I think it would certainly. I've always felt that it would be a bad idea to try to shoehorn that into KOL.
Yeah, no,
right.
Like at this point, especially.
But it would be nice if you know the number of things that we could do with content if we could just like you know, I mean, I guess there's nothing stopping us from like you know we make combat items that only work underwater or whatever.
We have shoehorned underwater into
yeah
that, but you're not you're just underwater or you're not
right. And then there are things that behave differently in different zones, but the
and
thing
you get
is,
stuck in choice adventures, which are sort of locational.
Sure. But the ability to like be in your inventory and use an item and have it do something different depending on where you are is not
right.
Is not a luxury that we have. It's not an option that we are
which
able to.
It's
explore.
Probably for the best because the whole idea of you having your entire multi-million item inventory with you wherever you go,
yeah,
doesn't make any narrative sense.
Yeah. yeah. White Bear writes, Ligature is what ties the reed on the clarinet mouthpiece, and Cosmo Cornelius says, Legato means smoothly, not slower, as in the opposite of staccato, which is very short and separated. End musical douchebaggery. That's okay, Cosmo Cornelius.
I've got to imagine that was from my show.
Yeah. No Hurt Me says, as far as giving kids booze goes, my dad used to give me some Crown Royal to deal with a cold. Fucking whiskey is great for a cold.
A friend of mine always suggested drinking a glass of rum every night.
Really?
With lemon if you're feeling sick. Yeah.
I guess it would do the same. I mean, part of it is just that it gets you drunk, so your symptoms don't bother you as much.
Sure.
And part of it is that, you know, alcohol is astringent and helps with congestion. Like, whiskey especially. Like, you know, whiskey clears your sinuses, I feel like. Rum seems a little oily to me for those purposes.
I don't know.
But, I'm prejudiced against rum. I guess I'm not really prejudiced against rum. I'm Judas-ed against rum because I just don't like it. I've had it. And
you paid 30 silver for it one time.
Yes. Yeah. I was like, fuck, this was not worth. This was not worth it. Oh, well, at least my name will go down in history. Remember that Onion article? Where I was the title of the editorial was, I hope that my mastery of foreign policy goes down in history by the Earl of Sandwich. Something like that. I don't remember what this exact title was, but it was just a thing about how he hopes that he is remembered for his great deeds.
Yeah.
John Keel says, did you just change the fanfic into a spellbook now? I did it. I did it not when we were talking about it, but when that part of the radio show was playing after pre-recording.
You did it, finally.
Yeah. I did it as I was saying it in the recording.
That's
the radio
funny.
Show. Was that last Thursday?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
I didn't realize you had done that.
Last Thursday, I was in New York.
Yeah. What
the fuck, man?
We live in a strange age. It would have taken you months to get from New York to here back in the day.
I know. And I probably would have gotten dysentery on the way.
Well, either that or had to shoot a bunch of deer. Or you might have gotten lost in the river.
Or a bunch of Indians. You never have to fight it. Or no, you do. You do get it in the original Oregon Trail. You got attacked by Indians,
yeah,
because you'd either circle the wagons or whatever. And
I don't remember what the options were.
Yeah, I remember circle the wagons is what I always did.
Yeah, that's what.
And
I
never
did
really
too.
Understood what that meant.
Really?
Yeah.
You understand now?
I don't know. Like park the wagons in a circle.
They would literally put the in a yeah as like a defensive thing, and then right, the Indians would like ride around,
and then you'd shoot them.
And then they would shoot, like shoot at each other.
Every time you shot one, he would start riding the other direction, but a little faster.
Yes.
Oh, wait. Am I mixing up Indians and metal ducks again?
They both have feathers.
Oh, wait. I was talking about red dot Indians.
Oh.
Let's see. No Hurt Me links to YouTube of the Morbo windmill quote. That's awesome. Elfin says, I want to explore the new Slime Tube content without spoilers for once, and was wondering what an expected turn count for a solo run would be. Well, 1,000-ish. To begin with, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you're very likely to do it in, like, 950 to 1,000 turns. Because it depends on what
sure, you... Sure, yeah.
I mean, there's definitely ways to make it faster. And it is unusual, I think. I mean, granted, there's only two dungeons so far. It is unusual in that, like, the fastest runs are going to be primarily solo runs.
Yeah.
You know, they'll have some help to do some things, but it's going to be mostly, almost all one person's endeavor.
We gotta, you know, the next clan dungeon, we should definitely...
This was definitely not...
We should definitely work on, the multiplayer aspect of it a little more. That idea, The whole ostrich thing. I was pretty happy.
Oh, yeah.
We gotta...
It's still there.
Yep.
There's so much... We have so many, like, one-tenth to eight-tenths finished ideas.
Yeah.
In the world.
There is a huge, huge amount of work left.
Sure. That one is one of the one-tenths ideas.
Yeah. Boris Badenov says, I was one of those douchebag 14-year-old kids when I started playing, and I'm now a nice, cool adult that you were talking about last week. Actually, I was pretty mellow then, and I'm in college now. That means I'm a real man, right? And you can obviously tell I'm not study the English. Yeah. It was hard. I was trying to do the whole, like, correcting the grammar of that sentence on the fly, but it was way too convoluted and way too wrong for me to actually pull it off.
I mean, I have nothing wrong with 14-year-olds in general. Like,
you have nothing wrong with 14-year-olds.
Yeah, I mean,
you have no problem with 14-year-olds?
I have no problem with 14-year-olds. There's nothing wrong with them.
Not inherently.
Yeah, I mean, it's like some of them are obnoxious.
I mean, how many 14-year-old friends do you have?
None right now.
Yeah, so, I mean, you probably wouldn't make any 14-year-old friends.
The pretentious artists
brother's children are pretty cool, and they're a pretty wide range of ages.
You know, my
and I would hang out with them.
My wife's cousin, who's like 11 or 12, was pretty fun to hang out with.
Yeah,
you know, I guess I would say that I was friends with her.
But we're not gonna
hang out with her, right? Like
every time I try to take her to the bar, bad things happen.
Yeah. She hates me because I'm single-handedly keeping the black man down.
That's true.
Grimdell says, just a thought, eating black puddings gives you some resistance in the slime pit? No. Fineldar says, dude, you guys are old. You're talking about cats. Soon all your conversations will be about how much you like Total. We've had conversations about that before, though.
We have, yeah.
Riff and I were both super into Total Raisin Bran when we were in high school. Yeah. It's like a weird thing we had in common.
Like, great grains, man. That's where it's all at.
Total Raisin Bran is good.
Great grains.
Total Raisin Bran is so much better than Post Raisin Bran, and it's weird because it's better because the raisins are less sweet.
Yep.
Post Raisin Bran, like, the raisins are coated with sugar, which it's just like, it's like flakes with candy in them, you know?
Yeah.
Total Raisin Bran. I want some. The reason that I don't eat cereal is because I can't consistently, you know what I need? I need a fucking milkman, but I need a milkman that I can just, like, in the morning, when I get up and decide that I want to eat some cereal, I can just snap my fingers and there's some, like, a bowl's worth of fresh milk delivered.
You will have milk in your fridge soon.
Are you keeping milk?
Yeah.
Fucking, like, skim milk?
1%.
1%? I guess I can get used to 1%.
What do you like?
I like 2%.
Yeah, 1%'s better.
I disagree. Let's see.
Fineldar's question is really long.
Sailor Bowser says, dear Chicken Company, I thought you'd like to know that KOL got a mention in PC Gamer's Big Book of Free in the list of a year's worth of free games. That's cool. Yeah. Look, there are issues with the whole, you know, the game being crazy intelligent about multiple crafting of stuff that requires multiple steps to craft. Like, that's, you know, we can't afford for every feature of the game to be like, you know, to have like air traffic control levels of complexity and intelligence.
I feel bad for CD Meier because it's like, it was so cool, but then there are just all these little things about it that are just haunting
him forever. Well, it was his own fault for being so ambitious about that. I would never have suggested putting in a thing where you can click on the end result and it would craft multiple it. Stages. I would never have decided to do that.
No, the idea being that you would have always had to do it step by step.
Yeah. And you know, the fact that he was willing to add that feature means that he has made that bed and now has to sleep in it, as far as I'm concerned. You know, he's the sweetest programmer in the world, and God bless him. But
It's been kind of a joy having him work on KOL.
Yeah.
Him and his typos,
man. Yeah, that's what it's very, very difficult to tell what he's saying.
Homophonic top typos, that's what I don't get.
In every single thing that he says. I just, you know, you're just, he's so busy working that he doesn't have time to talk. That's the thing.
He bills you in, like, what, 30-second increments or something?
Dr. Kearse, ceci n'est pas un derrière pipe. That's French for ass pipe.
Wow, nice.
Andus T says, you could just have one notification if any new application comes. That way, if some pile up, you won't get multiple messages. How would you do that? You would make it so it would create an event if you did not already have an event in your queue.
But then, okay, so then, yeah, that would expire after the, 48 hours?
Yeah, I don't think that we would want that to be reading from the event table like that. So, one thing, something interesting, and again, a thing that Metroplexity does that is cool. In the menu on top, if you have new messages, the messages link is in bold and in parentheses. This is something that I think would be awesome. If your quest log updates, it does that. That would probably annoy people.
So the problem with that, I can see, not the problem with that, but I feel like there is a tremendous amount of quest log text that you never see as a player. Because you just like do two or three steps, and then you never see those interstitial steps in of your quest log. And I think we're okay with that, but it's weird, right? Because like...
Yeah. I mean, the quest log is very tacked on, you know? And it shows.
I feel like a more holistic approach to that would have been to display each section as like a complete, like, this is what you're working on now. There's some more stuff. This is the stuff you've completed. Like, I feel like you would still be able to read all the old stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean,
I think that would be kind of unpleasant to look at.
Sure. I'm not saying it's ideal, but do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, you know, a thing that was like,
if it was really important, if people were looking at it a lot.
A notification when your quest log got updated, like, would be a notification that something important had happened.
Right.
Which is something that maybe we could use. Being able to click on it to get a pop-up of the current quest log entry for a current quest would maybe be interesting.
Sure.
Right?
That would, I mean, people would, you would, we'd have a lot less reports of, like, I don't know why I haven't done this thing yet, or I haven't been able to do this thing if... Like, we get a lot of bug reports where people are, like, looking for something, and it's...
I don't know.
They got it a week ago.
I don't know if it's possible to make something so easy to read that anyone will actually read it.
Right.
Right.
We could translate it from Spanish. That might help.
Alex Leon says, how about a memo box next to an ascension to leave notes for yourself or others about what you did on that run, for instance, if there was a weird turn count? I can see why somebody would want that, but... I don't know. It's a slippery slope, right? Like, there's more and more and more and more and more information that people would want on an Ascension history. I could see, you know, wanting to be able to make excuses. But, you know, excuses are like assholes.
Well, excuses are explanations. I mean,
whatever. Explanations are the same as excuses.
But you'd want to be able to annotate everything in your profile eventually. And
yeah.
Fuck that. Seriously.
Pobblebonk says, hey Scully, what would you think of a mashup of Push by Matchbox 20 and My Monkey by Jonathan Colton? Scully would love it because it is a mashup.
Everybody's got to have their, like,
because
genre.
Because it is bitter and because it is a mashup. AA Battery says, holy crap, I just started playing Star Control 2 like yesterday. Star Control 2 rules.
It does kind of rule. Did you read Tariq's comment? Question?
Idea? Says, read what? Huh?
Tariq or Tariqe. It's after Andes T.
Oh, yeah. That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's suggesting something that is already there. Pobblebunk says, about the reverse mermaid problem. A normal mermaid has tits, two hands, and a mouth while still being able to talk and not be hideous. I'd go for the normal mermaid. I think that everyone would go for the normal mermaid. As opposed to the bottom half of a woman and the top half.
No, I know. I'm just trying to think, like... So... I mean...
Everybody who's not just a completely insane psychopath, anyway.
Because you can't have sex with... Like, you can't have, like, regular intercourse with a mermaid, right?
Right.
So, like, that's... I think that's...
I mean,
that's
okay,
that is the whole basis of
this
discussion.
But here's a question. Where is a fish's vagina? Like, do fishes have vaginas?
Don't they have cloacas or whatever?
I don't know if fish have cloacas or not. I mean, they gotta have something like an asshole, right?
Right.
So, I mean, it's not like, you know, if you're really on a quest for variety, it's not like...
But is it like the... Is it like dolphins where... I guess those are male dolphins. But... You could die? I guess that's my question.
Yeah, aren't dolphin penises like gigantic corkscrews that just destroy you?
I think it's not their penis, it's the force of the ejaculate.
Oh, okay.
That will, like,
even
that will, like, internally rupture your shit.
Why is it that so many females in... Or so many species have females of that species that, like, kill or consume the males? It's really disturbing.
Revenge?
Praying mantis. Jowlin says, also, blonde security chick.
What?
Were we talking about Star Trek The Next Generation? That had a blonde
Tasha
security
Yar.
Chick?
I guess so.
Mike Liviar says, can we please have a differentiation between slime monster types and the log? Pretty, pretty please, mister.
They are the same monster.
They are. Yeah.
So, no. I don't think.
Yeah, there is only one monster in Dungeon. I mean, there are only six monsters in Hobopolis. And they don't even need to be six. Like, they
could have, been
could have easily been the same monster, yeah. We could do it, you know.
Well, okay, there are six monsters and then six bosses.
I like how C.D. Moyer implemented Hunt the Wumpus in a single choice adventure.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Did that,
Really?
Did that one minor issue get fixed with
the ability to, I don't know. That was a problem this morning.
Which one?
Somebody's dude got a map where the Wumpus has bats on two sides of it and a pit on the other side.
It was supposed to be impossible,
but it was not, apparently.
Really? Yeah. Somebody pulled, somebody
yeah.
yanked that
it's,
seed.
It's been verified, too. He didn't just miss
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, no. See, that isn't it. So what we did, we added a pre-execution code block to the choice spindler, which basically means you can do whatever you want to it. You can change the description, yes. You can change the picture, you can change all the options, you can do
wow.
anything in it.
That's pretty powerful.
It is.
Because that was the idea that you kind of got from Metroplexity.
Well, the conditionals on the individual choices, we could have faked it. We could have, like, in code, in the pre-execution code, added another choice under certain circumstances. The thing is, we could do everything in the game in, like, blocks of eval PHP code.
Right.
Right? But at some point, you need some data structures, I guess. Right? Because if you want to change something later. But we're not ever going to change anything like, oh, choice adventures are adventures with choices. You know? Like, there are some fundamentals that you could just do.
Right.
You could just do in code. You know? It's weird. PHP and the ability to just evaluate code from a database is an incredible tool for prototyping stuff.
That's true.
And working on KOL is kind of like prototyping, right? Because it's very simple in terms of getting from just the straightforward code of the game logic to something that is actually playable. It's kind of zero steps. Cyan220 says, I'm finally playing the El Vibrato stuff, and please allow me to enumerate the reasons it is awful. 1. Drop rates are terrible. 2. Specifically, the attack card drop rate is incredibly low. 3. It takes forever to get a power sphere so that I can spend / waste turns trying to get a couple of specific cards. Are the cards not...
It goes on.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, keep going. 4. I've used the attack wall floor combination several times and have yet to get a sphere card. 5. I don't even really want the things I'm spending all this time trying to get, but I do want to collect and have experienced the content. The best comparison I can come up with is walking across a field of broken glass barefoot to get a used condom just so you can talk about it with everyone else who did it. I'm sorry.
Oh, gosh.
Dang. I didn't think it was that bad.
On the upside, I'm really looking forward to playing the new clan. Oh, man.
The drop rates aren't that bad.
I don't remember. Like, it was not, like, wildly successful, but people I thought were pretty positive about it when it came out.
I don't know. I mean, you know, it was one of those things where it was, like, too complicated for Scully to enjoy it. So, that is usually a pretty good indicator that we've crawled a little bit too far up our own asses and made something that's a little too, you know, gaming nerd niche-y.
The, like, week of playtesting that the item of the month got, I think probably did good things to the enjoyment accessibility of it. Like, I don't know that we changed a lot of stuff, but there was definitely enough little stuff that changed.
There was enough time for dev to feel comfortable complaining about something because, Yeah. Hey, I know. We should get every item of the month done at least a week or two ahead of time. Although they're
none of them are this big.
A year are they this. Yeah, and this one was bigger than the last time. I'm really fucking pleased with this item of the month. I really think that it's the feedback that I'm seeing is making me. It's really gratifying.
Good. Do people very readily determine which portions were written by whom?
They did, pretty quick, yeah.
Yep. Although, well,
the first person to post in there was just 100% wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was weird.
Just based on, like, 5 minutes of play.
Yeah. And Scully, because he didn't get a single one of them right, and Scully replied, yeah, I know. That is exactly wrong.
That's funny.
Like, there's only two ways in which you can be 100% wrong in trying to match up three things with there. Right?
I guess so, yeah.
Right? You can be, like, off by one, or you can be off by two.
Right. You know. I'm trying to think if you can reverse any of those, but I don't.
But you can't, because I don't think you can without... Because reversing one of them just...
Makes it, right.
Makes it the other one, and...
This is, like, some awesome, like, door puzzle. There's three doors, one of which always lies, one of which always tells the truth, one of which is like, dude, why am I telling you the truth or lying if I'm a door?
One of which makes a better window than a door. Yeah. it's 7 o'clock. We should see if Savin is ready. I bet he is, because he said a little while ago that he was ready. I should come up with some kind of a song to play.
Grimdall's asking for a multi-consume on the foods and boozes and stuff like that, but isn't that already implemented? At least through checkmans?
No, multi-use on food and booze is there. You just have to... Is that what he said?
Yeah.
I didn't hear you. You have to enable it in the account menu.
Oh.
Because okay. I'm a dick.
All right, Grimdall. You have to go to your account menu.
Aerosmith. Now, oh, God, that song is 6 minutes long. That song is six fucking minutes long. Let's listen to it.
Genis Sage, Ace Attorney, says, hey, guys, great work in the new clan dungeon. Anyway, on to business. Is there a way to add use another cursed piece of 13 option after a scary pirate fight? I think that seems like a reasonable request. It's very much in line with the whole use a chamois option.
Yeah, and typically, I think I added a use another drum machine.
Like, I believe you did.
Yeah. So it's, yeah.
We should definitely add chat commands to be able to use chamois.
Oh, okay.
Because they are outside the scope of normal use.
Right.
So I'll have to remember to put that in the list.
You know what also wouldn't hurt? No, never mind. Yeah.
It's
Zare wants to be able to do it without
touching the mouse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which if he has gotten used to hopping back and forth between the chat and the main pane with a keyboard.
I believe he has.
Then
when it works.
Then a chat command.
To use a chamois, I think, is all he needs. I think.
Yeah.
I am pleased with the pace of progress through this dungeon.
Yeah.
It is about what
it's
I expected.
It's not too fast and not too slow.
Yeah, it's about what I was shooting for. I did most of the number design, and people can feel free to hate me later for it.
Yeah.
But
listen to me now, but hate me later.
Yeah.
All right, guys, we'll see you Monday and Thursday.
Yeah, have a great weekend, everybody.
Later.
It's been 1 week since you looked at me. Cocked your head to the side and said I'm angry. 5 days since you laughed at me. Saying, get back together, come back and see me. 3 days since the living room. I realized it's all my fault, but couldn't tell you. Yesterday, you'd forgiven me, but it'll still be 2 days till I say I'm sorry. I'll watch a hoodwink, does it make you stop think? You'll think you're looking at Aquaman. I summon fish to the dish, although I like the chalet Swiss, I like the sushi, cause it's never touch a frying pan. Hot like wasabi when I bust rhymes, speak like Leanne rhymes, because I'm all about value. Bird campers got the mad hits, you try to match wits, you try to hold me but I bust through. Gonna make a break and take a fake out like a sink and ache and shake out like vanilla, it's the finest of the flavors. Gonna see the show cause then you'll know the vertigo is gonna go cause it's so dangerous, you'll have to sign a waiver. Can I help it if I think you're funny when you're mad? Trying hard not to smile though I feel bad. I'm the kind of guy who laughs at a funeral. Can't understand what I mean, well you soon will. I have a tendency to wear my mind on my sleeve. I have a history of taking off my shirt. It's been 1 week since you looked at me. Threw your arms in the air and said you're crazy. 5 days since you tackled me. I still got the red rims on both my knees. It's been 3 days since the afternoon. You realize it's not my fault, but a moment too soon. Yesterday you'd forgiven me. And now I'll sit back and wait till you say you're sorry. Drumstick and your brain stops sticking. Watching X-Files with no lights on, with all our maisons. I hope the smoky man's in this one like Harrison Ford. I'm getting frantic, like Sting and Pen Trick, like Stinkers guaranteed to satisfy. Like Kurosawa, I make mad films. Okay, I don't make films, but if I did, they'd have a
cartoon has got the boom anime babes that make me think the wrong things. How can I help it if I think you're funny when you're mad? Trying hard not to smile though I feel bad. I'm the kind of guy who laughs at a funeral. Can't understand what I mean, but you soon will. I have a tendency to wear my mind on my sleeve. I have a history of losing my shirt. It's been 1 week since you looked at me. Dropped your eyes to the sides and said I'm sorry. 5 days since I laughed at you and said you just did just what I thought you were gonna do. 3 days since the living room. We realized we're both to blame, but what could we do? Yesterday, you just smiled at me. Cause it'll still be 2 days till we say we're sorry. Still be 2 days till we say we're sorry.